Welcome to the Love Out Loud podcast, a space where we're awakening humanity through love-based conversations with global leaders.
Love Out Loud takes you on a journey of learning how to love yourself and realizing your unlimited potential so that together we can create a unified and compassionate world. Our membership is the heart of our ever-growing global family, and we would love to see you in there. Join us for free now by clicking the link below. Glenn, welcome to the Love Out Loud podcast, and I feel really excited just in connecting with you prior to us jumping on live, hearing the will in you despite your own odds, despite the opportunities that you had that could have maybe taken you away from your soul path, that you really made that choice. And this is something that I've really been thinking about a lot lately in my own journey as a leader, is it really is a choice. It begins by choosing that soul path, choosing to devote yourself to something bigger than you. And I'd love that just to be the opener of our conversation today. What was that choice? How does that resonate with you? What was your journey in getting to a place where you could make such a powerful choice? And how has that then impacted the rest of your journey?
Yeah, well, firstly, thank you for inviting me onto the show. I think what you do yourself is incredible. And can I just say, like, when I came across your work and when I spoke to you and just listened to you, it is really much about vibration and energy, and you attract it. And even when you speak there, the passion oozes, and I'm like, this conversation is going to go on. I can tell.
Yes.
Get excited when you meet very similar people. But I suppose for me, even before the campaign, 6-7 years ago, I went through my own adversity. I self-diagnosed myself in a way that it was Dr. Google. I started noticing that I was comparing myself, and I was in the fitness industry, and my relationship with the mirror took a turn from 3 to 4 minutes to about 3 to 4 hours. And it just went really downhill fast. And at the time, for people who've got kids out there, know Sydney is predominantly quite hard to get childcare. We moved to Thailand, took a year out, take me away from friendships, take me into a new culture, or should I say put me into a new culture. And I suppose it just accentuated that.
That was you and your partner?
Yeah, me and my partner, we moved over. We just had our first child at the time, and she hadn't noticed it. I wasn't telling anyone. And it just got to the point where I was looking in the mirror for 3 to 4 hours and just really went to a dark space. And as much as I had a background in health and fitness, and I knew the anatomy and physiology and the makeup and how exercise worked, what I was telling myself in my head, looking in the mirror, was totally different. And it just shows you, anyone with an eating disorder, or when it comes to body dysmorphic disorder, there's such a disconnection between what you know in reality to what your mind is telling you and how powerful it is. And in essence, it came to fruition because I got through that period of my life. I went to see a therapist who put me in touch with a personal trainer who had gone through the same thing, worked through cognitive behavioral therapy, and I was able to fix my mind through that, and also what was the issue of mine, which was predominantly I wanted this big aesthetic chest. You know, living in Sydney, Bondi, you walk on there, you want this. And I was hanging around.
Looks pretty aesthetic to me, Glenn. You've got nothing to worry about.
This is what you tell yourself. And literally, like, I worked through it and I got through all that. And I started becoming more empathetic, like I said before to you, that I noticed it in people and I was picking up on things. And then I started noticing that there was passion in me just to help people other than a fitness capacity. Turned my social media on one day because, attesting to what I went through, it was very much looking at highlight reels on social media, comparing myself, what we all tend to do. So I turned it on, noticed a friend had passed away who I'd not seen for years. Turned out when I looked into it, because I only saw highlight reels, that he had career, he had that, and he'd taken his life. And he'd got a young son as well. So to me, it knocked me around for a while, and I was like, what can I do? So I suppose this, the fruition of the Imperfectly Perfect campaign, but attesting to myself what that has taken me on as my sole purpose. And that's where we kind of connect, because what you're going to do and what you've told me prior to the meeting, it really just drew me on certain words. I mean, I can look at your accolades, I can look at what you've been able to achieve, but none of that matters to me. I like to know the person behind who's done it all. Mm. So yeah, I just think it's so important. And you will start noticing, we talk about vibration energy, like attracts like. You start, you're on that vibration where you know you find your soul purpose. People find you.
Yes. Oh my God. So much in what you just said. I just want to dive into. I couldn't agree with you more. And there's a few things there that, you know, really stood out to me. I really want to go back though for a second. And, you know, what you just shared is the depth of that suffering for you when you started to see the descent. And I think maybe why I empathize with it so much is because I relate to it so deeply. I remember what that was like. I remember leaving. I was so preoccupied by the insecurities that I would leave my classroom to go and look in the mirror in the bathroom.
Done that.
You know, I couldn't sit through a 45-minute class in high school because of that level of preoccupation that the eating disorder was consuming in me. And so I feel you so deeply. And you had a new baby and a partner. You had just moved to a new place. What was that like? Like, take us into that time, because I think it's just going to put into perspective just how possible it is for us to change, you know, and to transform our lives.
And I do want to say to that, when you just said that, that just hit me, because I can remember times. I mean, I'm clearly older than you if you can remember school like that much, but I can remember if we went to a shopping mall or if we went out for dinner, I would make excuse and I would literally just go into the bathroom. It could be a public restroom and make sure no one was there. And I just like, because my issue was I wanted this big aesthetic chest and these big arms. And unbeknownst to me, I was hanging in Bondi and I was with a lot of people. And I wasn't as naive as to think that people weren't putting things in the body, additional supplements. But when people are your friends and your baseline and you're going, are you doing this to your body? Or what are you, because I'm doing everything you're doing and it's not working for me. And they'd say no. So that would play with my head. So take it back to those restrooms or whatever. I'd go in and I'd look and I'd take my top off and I'd be like, oh, is it pulling, like all this kind of stuff? And yeah, it just got really dark. And when we was in Thailand, bearing in mind different culture, it got more obsessive and I was hiding it from my wife. And as you say, we had a newborn child and it got to the point one day that I was just like, I just do not know what to do. I didn't think about doing anything to myself because I'd got a family. But at the same time, I was like, I feel like I'm going crazy. Like my mind, everything.
Just the preoccupation.
Yeah. And I know I've got strength to get out of this, but I'm going in this perpetual cycle of like, what? So in the end, like my wife started noticing it and then it was affecting us. And then one day, I never blame anyone else. This is a thing. So on the external point of view, if you saw me teaching fitness, group fitness to like hundreds of people and then getting off stage and then looking in the mirror, to anybody who didn't know or understand body dysmorphia or eating disorders, they'd be like, come on, Glenn, stop looking at yourself.
They would actually think that it was you being vain.
Yes, exactly. Mm. She never understood it at the time, but then it got to a point once where it was just consuming and yeah, she was like, this is like breaking us up. Like you're missing important things with our child. And I was like, I know. And I actually broke down that day crying. First time I ever cried in front of her. And went to see a therapist. And one of the things with the campaign and why I do podcasts with every person's story is that if one thing doesn't work for you, listen to someone else's story. Keep trying, because one therapist might not click with you. And I saw one, and bearing in mind in Thailand, they're not very aesthetic based. It's all about education. So I went to this doctor who thought it was some kind of OCD, which in a sense it is. You're obsessive compulsive. You're looking in the mirror. So it didn't help me. And I was like, oh, well, there I go. Like, what the hell? I've seen a therapist and he didn't know what it was. By the grace of God, and this is why I always talk about this, we got an email that following week by Sydney, a childcare center, saying we've got 5 days a week for our kid. And we flew back that month. So it eased the pressure a bit. I went to see a therapist and the best thing he ever did was put me with a personal trainer who had gone through the same experiences.
What an epic therapist that they actually thought to do that.
And he was very personal, and he came from the approach, he was a younger therapist, so he came from the approach of talking about his personal experience with things. And for me, that connected me with, because sometimes if you see a therapist, I understand, and no judgment, but there's such a disconnection where, because of protocol, they can't be seen to be, they've gone through things. Whereas me, it resonates.
Yeah.
So this therapist told me about this personal trainer who had gone through it, worked with him. With me, it turned out I was teaching that much martial arts and everything that I'd put the load on my shoulders. So it was actually pulling my shoulders forwards like boxers. I couldn't get a chest. So all it was for me was...
So that was the reason.
Exactly. And I can for 3 years, mate, I was like, whoa.
I mean, not that it's even about that, but wow, you know, doesn't that just go to show like the level of, yeah.
Thing. And the difference there is, I always say, it affects everyone. When I came out with my story and I wrote it on the campaign and I put it on my personal pages, so many guys reached out to me. And there I just didn't know it had a name, but Glenn, I think I've got that. And I was like, female, male, males are just as bad when it comes to body dysmorphia, eating disorders. It's just widely hid under the rug.
Yes. And that's such a beautiful segue into what I wanted to ask you next, which is just the power of vulnerability and the role that vulnerability has had. Because I love how you express, Glenn, like you're here, you know, you're just being you, you're expressing the truth. One of the things that struck me when you were sharing about your friends in Sydney, right, was that when you would specifically ask them what else they were doing, and they would say no. And, you know, maybe sometimes that was true, maybe it wasn't. But from your experience, when we hold back our truth, like in that situation, so you were internalizing that because maybe some of them weren't telling you the truth of what they were doing, for instance. You take that on and you think that it's you. And I just think that that's such a potent example. And same thing when your wife was thinking, oh, Glenn's being vain, or people were thinking that, and they weren't actually being vulnerable enough to ask and to lean in. And I know in my journey that was a massive thing. I was always the elephant in the room. People were so scared of the vulnerability that I was in that they didn't know how to be vulnerable enough to ask if I was okay. And I think we all hold keys for each other in this way. You know, when we are vulnerable, just like you were saying, when you finally shared your story, the amount of men that reached out and said, wow, I relate. Like I struggle with this. Thank you. Just how powerful that can be, one, in our own personal healing, and two, in unlocking and helping connect people and ground them in their own truth.
Yeah.
And I'd love you to just speak to that.
Well, there's two things there that I can say. So one thing is, there's an incredible show over in the US called A Million Little Things. And one of the lead actresses came on the campaign and we've become good friends from it.
But cool.
The premises behind that and why I mention it is because it's based on the group of people brought together who form a friendship, and one guy ends up taking his life. And it's about how the friendship develops. But the main premise behind it is, it's about having those hard conversations.
Yes.
That's what I love. So when it comes to vulnerability, another side of that story is, there's a very successful businessman called David Meltzer, who I talked to quite a lot. And he taught me, he was like, he was very successful. And there was a lady, he once went on a work trip to India, and he was sat on the train, and this little lady said to him, she was like, have you ever meditated? And he was like, no, why would I? And he owned it. He said he was very narcissistic when he was younger. He said that's what he was when he was younger. And but I love it when people own the truth. That's the
100%. I'm like, what a legend.
She said, okay, so do you know about energy and like attracts like and vibration? And he said, well, yes, I know the light and I know animals and this throws off this. And she was like, you know what is the fastest way to raise your vibration? And he said, what? She was like, the truth.
Yes. Boom. I just want all listeners to just take a second before you carry on to just let that land. The quickest way to raise your vibration is truth. Boom. So good. So good. Sorry, carry on.
I love that. And I just sat back when he told me, and I was like, wow, that's so profound. Because my journey where it's been, it was a good friend of mine was in the US on a podcast talking about the campaign. There was someone else on who said, hold on a minute, my tattoo says imperfectly perfect. There was another guy. And the energy in that room, they're now all on the campaign, they're big names, and there's this synergy that created. And then it started with medical professionals on it, then holistic practitioners, then spiritual gurus, then my journey began. And the things that I've learned from it, and going back to that vulnerability, you know what I can say about talking to you now? We're both so relaxed. We're owning who we are. There's three types of listeners.
No pretense.
No, there's three types of listeners. There's those people that don't, who find it hard to listen. There's the ones who are talking, trying to listen, but thinking about what they're going to say next. And the third one is they've found that purpose. They know their truth. They know who they are. And a conversation just flows between one person and the other. I've never met you. You've never met me. But you know what? This conversation just feels like we've known each other for 10 years. And that's the truth.
Wow, what a beautiful context for that. When you truly are connected to that truth inside of you, it transcends you from needing to prove yourself in conversation, which puts you in this really incredible place of being able to truly listen. And again, I think that's such a beautiful segue into opening up a part of the conversation, because I really want you to speak to this around discovering your soul purpose and how much being able to know who you are and be in that vulnerability and know who you are in that vulnerability has allowed you to listen enough to really find that soul purpose. And maybe take us into that moment. You said when your partner finally had that conversation with you and you broke down crying, was that one of your pivotal moments where you did actually drop into your truth and face the depth of what you were going through?
Yeah, and I think it is for everyone. Anybody would be, in a sense, lying if they said they couldn't remember that time where they were going through things before everything changed for them, when they just let it out. And it's just that moment that you can go straight back to. Now I can think of it, just sat there on the bed, just bawling my eyes out, going, I need help. And everybody, if they really, really are honest with themselves, and that's the thing about finding your truth. And I'm not here to preach, I always say this, but for myself personally, I feel it takes something like that at times to face your vulnerability with yourself. Because I always talk about, it is incredible that there's medicine out there that can help when it comes to maybe chemical imbalances and everything. But there's also a lot of inner child work, stuff that we suppress, that we don't work on, and it's a band-aid that we really need to go back. So for me, this process has been, as I say, medical professionals, then holistic practitioners, then spiritual gurus came through to me, and it was working on myself. Because unless we come to a place of acceptance of ourselves, who we are, and I've got one more golden nugget for you there, is that there's two types of people when it comes, and you know the ones that have gone to the truth, because there's a competitive plane and a creative plane.
Yes, and a collaborative, co-creative plane. Yes.
You go through life, and I believe I always have, of this creative plane. There's over 4 billion people or whatever in this world. There's enough people to share your abilities and come collectively together. If you're on this competitive plane and you're envious of what someone else is doing,
out.
You do.
Yeah.
And it's this vulnerability. I'm disrupting corporate silence now. So I go through all these platforms, LinkedIn, and I've got all these big business names on, and they're like, wow, Glenn, you're just bold. And
I'm going like, for it. don't you love that people find it a radical conversation to talk about love? Like, I always find that so funny that people think that you're like a radicalist for telling them to love more. Like, it's just hilarious to me.
For me, I've got this tagline that I always say when it comes to business, whatever. I'm like, okay, so I'll interview someone on the podcast. They might have done X amount of movies or got $1 million. And I'm like, you know what? You've got all these accolades, you've got all this. I said, I take my hat off because that's incredible. But I like to know the person behind the profession. What is the story and why did you get there and why are you so adamant? Because there's so many people, I love this word, but we go in this perpetual cycle thinking these people that we see on highlight reels have got the life. Yet when you actually get to that level of associating with some of these people, you actually realize what comes with it is a lot of bloody problems as well. So they look down at us. I'm not saying they look down, but they look at our lives going, oh, sometimes I wish I had that simple life.
100%.
So it's, we're all...
And don't you find that when someone is elevated, actually they're experiencing, their experience of others is not many people have compassion for them.
Mm.
Because they're being perceived to have it all. So they don't actually have space to be safe in their vulnerability because no one is even accepting that that is a part of what they're experiencing.
I just, my wish is for people, we see it all the time, and I know several people, and it's once you become so comfortable with yourself, you just know money's going to come in, like...
Yeah, trust.
It's trust, just let them go. But my only hope, and I see it all the time with the younger generation, is they're putting out this perception, they're making this money, and they're selling these programs, and it all works, and you kind of like... immerse yourself in books and learn about yourself. And these most successful people in the world, one thing in common is they talk about their story and their truth. And like, it took them 20 years to be an overnight success. Whereas these days, it's one night and everyone's got a program that can make you anything.
And they're all charging astronomical prices for it. Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you know what? Good on you. You've got to learn yourself. You're on your own journey. But the only person you're actually hurting is yourself. Like, if you're trying to perceive something that's not, and then sell something off based off the back of someone else's insecurity, it's not coming from a place of good nature.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to hinder your progress of, and I will tell you, see if you like this one. You'll love
it. I'm sure I will. Come on, Glenn, hear me.
You was talking about finding your purpose. This was put to me and it really tested me. And I was like, whoa, mind blown. I felt that I'd found my purpose being of service to others and helping people with this campaign, because I wake up thinking about what can I do, and I can see the passion in you with what you've done and why you've done what you've done. But you know, it was put to me, it is amazing when you found something that you're so passionate about that you feel that it's your purpose. But I put it to you, your purpose in life is to find out who you are.
Amen.
And I was like,
amen,
boom. That's my book.
Totally. And you know, actually, like it is so profound, that statement. And how I came to that awareness is in the spaces that I would hold for people. What I started to notice after 10,000, 50,000, 100,000 people holding them in these spaces was we come most alive when we're simply just witnessed as we are.
Yep.
Not when we're being pumped up because of our accolades or our identities or what we do. Actually, when we can just be witnessed in pure love and acceptance, exactly as we are in that moment, that's when people had the most profound breakthroughs. That's when people connected most deeply to their own truth. And it made me realize that exact thing, that really, if there's a meaning as to why we are here, which I truly believe there is, it's to be allowed to be all of us, irrespective of whatever form that's taking.
Yeah.
You know, if you're the founder of an incredible campaign, if you're a janitor, if it doesn't, that's not the point. The point is being comfortable, as you say, in the fullness, the wholeness of your expression, letting life in 100%, whatever that looks like and whatever you're associating with in that moment. It's such a liberating place, I think, to not have the attachment to that identity, to be free of that.
But even you saying that, it goes to the point where happiness means something different to so many people. Success does. Like, so when people look at my stuff or when I look at your stuff, and you'll get the messages, it'll be like, oh, you guys are killing it. Like, look. And I'm like, I'm happy just bringing in a wage and paying for my rent and my family, and we live in a beautiful country, and yes, I love going on holiday now and again, but that's my success. Like, the more that I associate with people who have got big businesses, multi-million dollars, and then they go, but Glenn, what comes with a $1 million business is $1 million problems. I'm like, oh, I can see that.
It's good that you have clarity on that.
Yeah. We think, and like, and again, it goes to that whole purpose of finding out about yourself. You've got to really sit comfortable with yourself. Mm. Those listening who might be struggling with the mental health and things like that, it's like, really take this time during COVID, if you are stuck in, to actually keep connected with people, especially through Zoom, whatever. I know some people can't see people, but time to, and again, I'm not preaching, but go in and connect with people that maybe like yourself, Nicole, or like me, and just, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, connect. I'll see the opportunity, I think, is the biggest thing that in what's presented itself collectively, because that is such a powerful.
Deeper on that stuff as well. Why we think that.
I mean, I think that's a whole other episode. Glenn and Nicole's views on why COVID-19 manifested. So that's another episode, Glenn. I want, though, to understand your process, or the unfolding, I should say, from you finally being able to put it on the table. One of the things that I write in Love Out Loud is we can't heal what we don't reveal.
Yeah.
So revealing to your partner at that time, being honest with yourself about what you're experiencing, how did you go from that moment to the creation of this phenomenal campaign?
Yeah, well, it was, like I said, so I'd gone through my adversity. It was a few years between when everything was going back to normal. A big attributor of mine, or my demise, should I say, was social media. So I turned it off, and I turned it back on because I do photography. I'd taken pictures of my child, and my wife wanted pictures to send to a family. Turned it back on and noticed that a friend had passed away. There was no lead up, no story. So I looked into it inquisitively and found out that he'd taken his life. Again, highlight reels. I'd seen highlight reels, so I didn't know, and nobody else did. One thing that impacted me was the fact that I looked at posters into his life. I'd not seen him for, like, I've been here for 17 years. This was in the UK. He'd gone on to have a family. He'd got a little boy. So it took me to a space of when I was going through mine with my own little boy, thinking, I can't do anything because, like, I've got a little boy and things. But for somebody to be in that clouded moment of judgment and decide just to go that step further and think people might be better off without them or his little boy, it affected me. And what really affects me as a father is having, like, wanting to take that pain away, because having to tell a child when you've got a child of your own and you know how much they scream for their parents if they're not there, that you'd have to have that conversation and say, so-and-so's not coming back. Oh, God. It just really, it gets me every time. And so I was like, what the hell can I do? Reached out to all the big organizations. Now, don't get me wrong, they probably get inundated with advocates wanting to help. So I got thank you, but no thank you. Now with me, I was like, right, sleeves up, what can I do? I was like, you know what? Suicide rates continuing to increase. I'm just going to go against the grain. I'm actually going to show what it looks like through visual mediums. I'm going to, like, my photography, that's the tools of my trade. So I was like, you know what? Who do I look up to? Who do I aspire to be? Or highlight reels? Who do I think's got it all? So I started picking up the phone, and that's what I mean. Behind the scenes, it was me, myself, and I just going, you know what? Hey, you say yes, you say no. So picked it up.
Yes. What was it though? Like, that's a powerful place to get to. Like, I'm at this point now in my journey where it's okay. The worst thing that can happen is a no. Was it the will of that purpose that was sparked by that?
I think it was. I think it was more powerful than who I was.
Yes, it was bigger than you.
Something was bigger than me. And it was funny because it just started picking up. And people were so surprised by a voice note, because people just send texts. And I was like, no, I want you to hear my sincerity of why I'm doing what I'm doing, why I'm passionate about it. And it started picking up 3 months within the papers, then came to its first year and got picked up by the UK, with me being from the UK, and then the US. Took me to the US. And this is where it gets kind of like, where we spoke about, but through Jeremy's interaction on that podcast, and then more spiritual people came, I got told before I was coming out there that this was going to be led when I got there. And I didn't know what that meant. And this was my journey. And I was like, okay, I'm very open to it. And it was like, okay, we're going to open doors for you. And I'd got this message from some people who were spiritual. And I'm like, okay, like, I've never been
some
spiritual.
Some people who were spiritual.
Well, you know, randoms that just sent me a message saying, hey, by the way.
Like, what classifies? Were they wearing, like,
yeah, exactly.
Like tie-dye or what was it?
I'm really good friends now. So one is automatic writing. She gets messages, and Jeremy connected me, and, like, we're all good friends, but she was doing a reading for me, and I was always sat on the fence. I was like, you know what? Yes, no, let's see what's out there. And some names came up, a lot of things came up about my friend who had passed that was very thankful for this. And some more names came up and then was like, right, we're going to open doors in America. And there's me going, okay, let's see. And I was like, but out of everything, like all these organizations, all this, why me? Little old me from Yorkshire, like I'm just a guy with a camera. And there was like, because it's pushed by love. It's
makes me so happy.
It's not about monetary. It's not about look at me.
Like, it was pure.
Yeah, you'll not see me on the campaign other than if I've been on network. I'm pushing everyone else forward and front because sometimes you see a lot of people just kind of forefront, and that's fine. But I went to America and then all of a sudden did like 4 TV shows, podcasts, radio shows, big names got on board, and I'm like, holy shit.
Wow. And so great.
One name that came through on the reading, like, it was so profound because I was like, of course I know who that is. Well, this person is going to connect you with someone. I actually train at Goals Gym in LA when I go, went to it, got to know this lady and her husband, and they knew about the campaign, turned around to me one day and said, oh, we want to introduce you to someone. Take a number and give her a call. It was the person who had passed. Why?
No way. No way.
And these are like huge names in the US. And I was like, okay, there's more to this than meets the eye. Like it's, you know, when something's kind of being led and certain things just happen. And now I'm associating with people like I would never have thought of, and vibrations just raised and people are just saying, just like the fact that you're just you've just.
Yes.
You. And that's what I get with you as well. And that's why you're just grown exponentially. Do you know what I mean? It's just.
Viber.
Yeah.
No, this is so, I really, really, really hope that all the listeners listening to this are really taking this in, because there are little pieces that you're saying that hold such profound, just golden nuggets. You know, one of the things you shared just before was the difference, and, you know, this is the purity of what you're creating. It was about creating space for others to be elevated or for you to push others forward. And yes, like I believe in that so much as a leader, that's our role. That's our responsibility, is to create space for others' greatness, to be that facilitator of others' greatness. And the other piece that you were sharing, or what I was hearing, the message in what you were sharing, was just the power of surrendering to something bigger than you.
Yeah.
And there might be someone listening right now that has keys to our evolution as a humanity, and they're just struggling to let go. They're struggling to let go of the control. They don't know how to transcend the prison of self-orientation. And I would love you to just speak directly to them.
The ones who are trying to control everything?
Yeah, who are just on the precipice. They know they're about, you know, that the change they could make is right there. All they need to do is let go.
I love this one. I went through this myself.
So we all do, right?
Yeah, there was a period when I was like, I'm doing all this. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do this. Like my head's all over the space. And the most profound thing that I was told from, unbeknownst to them, like my mentor, I always say everyone is a mentor in life. You can learn something from everyone. And this person to me, Eden, she once told me, she was like, you've got to let go.
And how are you receiving it at that point in your life?
Well, that's, you're kind of in, you're like, yeah, okay.
All right. Like, yeah. What do I do though?
You'll notice it's, if you do not break this cycle, you don't move forward. There's a fear factor. So it's supposed to go like this, except when we build things on top of each other, we get to the top of our threshold and that's where we lose control and we hate it. So we like,
yes, that's the magic.
Yes.
That's the magic.
We get to pull back into what we obviously know as comfort, and people don't see the other side of the magic.
That's a really interesting way of thinking about it, that we hit our upper limit and all of a sudden it's about to become bigger than us. And then we're faced with the idea that it's not going to be able to be fully controlled by us. And that's when we're like, no. I need to wind this down.
Why?
I need to sabotage it.
Just let go. And I have learned, and you will learn, if you let go, when things come up in your life, this is what I've learned as well. Obstacles, when things slow down, there's something you need to work on. If the same cycle keeps showing itself, it's you that needs to work on that. And you will notice, you will attract all kinds of people in your life. And you will know if they're the wrong people, and there's nothing wrong with them. Everyone's on the wrong journey. But as soon as you let them go, you start freely moving forward again. It's amazing. And you realize, you're like, wow, this stuff, like, and you open that space to connect with people who are on the same vibration plane. Because everything in life is made on a vibration, and it's just you need to let go and stop trying to control it. And I need to connect you with somebody I spoke to. He's, you will be mind blown. He actually, he's a trans child, but he connects with Archangel Michael.
Yeah.
And he had a vivid message that came through, and not for me, but it was on a whole. And it was the fact that we all try and control things way too much. And if we let go, we're just hindering ourselves. We're so stuck in this cycle of just, if I do, what if I do? What if it doesn't? What if I don't? And this fear and judgment. And now, I'm not going to say I'm completely over it. Nobody is. It's always work. But I can.
There's always another layer, another level. Yeah.
It's not bloody easy, guys.
It's what makes it worth it.
I know. But then I always say to people who are sat on the spectrum and go, oh, yeah, whatever. I'm like, but what else are you doing? Give it a chance. Like, you just not know. Like, I'm always you've got to be teachable in life.
I literally write that in my book. Just words out of my own heart, Glenn.
Yes.
Yes. And to always be the student, you know, to me, the most profound teachers are the ones that remain a student. And I'm sure you found this with your own journey and what you're creating, the amazing things that you're creating in the world. I know that I'm forever a student of love. Love is the teacher.
Yeah.
And I'm the student of that message. And then through that, there's a conduit that happens for others to learn through the teacher that is that message. When you really take a stand and you say, I believe in this thing, and then you allow yourself to be a student of that, just profound unfoldings from that place.
I think it's amazing when you surround yourself with people like that. And you know, I like to say, okay, I'm a realist as well. So I know some people are out there and going, these guys here are preaching. And I'm like, you know what? Have a look at some of the people that you look up to, the most successful people in life. They've gone through adversity. They've shown their vulnerability. Doesn't make them less of a person. They've still gone on to be a multimillionaire. Whatever your success looks like.
Yes.
You look at your David Meltzers, you look at The Rock, you look at these. And sometimes I'm saying it on a guy's point of view, because guys don't talk about it a lot. And they hold these people on a pedestal and go, they're epitome of a man. They're successful. Look at them. They've got this. They've got this. But yet, if they really did the due diligence and read into them and read their story, they would know they've gone through it and adversity and hated themselves and depressed and look where they are. So for companies, one of my big things is I'd love that question that sometimes comes up in companies on an interview abolished that says, have you or do you suffer from any form of mental illness? There is such a spectrum of anxiety, clinical depression, like what constitutes as, I think everyone's been affected in some
and form. When does it become stigmatized? At what point is it all of a sudden too taboo to talk about?
Exactly. So I'm like, come on, government, let's abolish that question. Because if we're pouring all this money into mental health initiatives, I think let's remove that question, first of all.
Yes, brother, after my own heart, whatever I can do to support that pursuit.
Yeah.
I'm right there behind you.
Let's go. Because I will tell you one thing. I did manage through some good friends to get in the door of Parliament to the Commissioner's Chambers.
Yes, well, I can make all those introductions. Come on. I'll put in the good word.
I got in once, and you'll love this one, because they thought I was going in to talk about the campaign and wanting a grant. And I was like, look, to be honest with you, I've come in.
Because that's everyone's approach, isn't it? Always.
But yes. I said, you've met a different kettle of fish. I was like, I don't want a grant purely because I'm made after adhere to your policies or legislations. I was like, but what I have come is just to say my piece, what I think, whether you take no or not. And this woman was kind of like, she was like, and she was like, oh, who's this guy?
Yes. You are literally describing my 4 years in Parliament.
You know what I told them? I said, so you have this campaign, or you had this campaign, and it was a little old lady with a bunch of flowers and her husband had died. And I was like, it was on billboards everywhere. I was like, nothing wrong with it. However, you've just cut off a whole demographic. People are time poor. They're not going to connect it to mental health unless they read it. But because everyone's rushing, they're not going to read it. And if it's a little old lady with a bunch of flowers smiling, we're not going to see the signs. So I understand if you look into it, you see behind the mask. I said, however, we need to go to that younger generation, especially because they don't need to carry on what we already have. We can create awareness,
yeah,
but our kids do not. It's the same with race, with social creativity. Yeah. You will see two little kids, whatever color they may be.
It's not that, it's conditioned.
They run and they hug each other. It's external factors that we need to change. And that starts with preliminary measures.
Yes. Prevention, culture are the key. Culture, and just to empower people to really understand that you are the creator of culture. It's not what society is dictating as this kind of elusive force of whoever they are, air quotation marks. Culture is how you interact with your barista. Culture is how you choose to love your friends. Culture is the way that you ask someone out on a date. This is culture, and it is made of all of the thousands of choices that we get to make every single day. We create that.
Yep.
And when we really take ownership of that and recognize our power to influence culture, if you start doing things that are outside the norm, and you would know this, Glenn, the amount of attention that all of a sudden is on you, that is disrupting people's thought process, that is creating and paving new possibility for people just through you choosing to do something different.
Yep.
And that's a power that we all have.
I think too many people, like you say there, when they're trying to create something or get the messages out. So now I've been able to go on to coach and help people get the messages out. And it comes down to, I always say, you've got all these people out there, you've got all these programs out there, and they're talking about success and you can follow my business program. I'm like, it's in here.
Yeah.
So I combine modalities of mindset with business strategy. I'm like, they go hand in hand. That you're not going to move forward. So I get people who come to me who have spent thousands of dollars on these business programs.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know why you're still at week one? Is because you've not sorted out what's going on here.
That's and what's really for you, exactly. You know? What's actually for you? Just because that was for someone else doesn't necessarily mean it's for you.
I would like to say to anyone listening who is thinking of a business strategy, there's nothing wrong with it. However, if you look behind the scenes, each person that's doing one of these programs is paying someone else who did the program. There's actually no content.
Yes, Glenn.
I love calling it out on a nice because I'm all for people doing their things, but I'm like, there's no actually content.
No. It's not embodied. That person hasn't lived it. You know, it's like the most powerful way that we can learn is through seeing a demonstration. Someone that's actually lived it, breathed it, done the hard yards. Like, that's why I love having conversations with people like you, because I get to learn 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, however long it is, worth of wisdom and experience in, you know, an hour. Like, the things that the decades it took you to land in that one sentence of profound truth, when it's properly embodied as a listener, we can take that on. We don't have to go through, we don't have to make all of those mistakes, but really making sure that we're looking to see whether or not someone has really walked that path. If that has been wisdom that they've discovered through the path less traveled and not just regurgitated through someone else's program in a program in a program in a program.
And there's plenty out there. And as I say, each to their own. But when it comes to that, you really have to. The most, I believe, successful in terms of them being true to themselves is they've gone through adversity. they know into the depth to suddenly go, I feel at ease with myself.
Yeah.
I don't care.
They're in the comfort.
Yeah. And I'll just say quickly, sorry, when it comes to, because I know some of you listeners that might be young, when it comes to these followers or these likes, like my campaign, if you look on Instagram, it might have like 22,000. It takes one person with you.
Great perspective.
Now is it's gone international, the same as yours. Mm. But people see this number and attribute it to, oh, I need to attain. And it comes back to the worth. And then they take a picture down if it doesn't look perfect or if it doesn't look. I'm like, you know what, guys? Let's simplify stuff. No one's going to know your message or what you're about if you don't put yourself out there. Some people are not going to like you. That's okay. But you're going to find your audience.
Yeah.
You might not get huge engagement. You might not get followers. But that doesn't always equate to monetary gain from people who have got millions of followers. And they're not making money. Like just be yourself.
Yes. Like, and the depth that you're speaking from on the inside is going to hold that same depth and capacity of space externally. So the truer you are to you, the more profound the impact's going to be in that external world.
The success is your energy. You attract the right people with your energy, mate.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about vibration. I think we're going to need to have to do another episode, Glenn. We need to talk about COVID. We need to talk about vibration.
Love it.
I do try and keep the episodes under an hour so the listeners listen all the way through, and I'm absolutely positive that they would have. You've just given so much to this conversation, and so, you know, it's very, very clear the generosity that you are as a person. I really just want to acknowledge that in you, Glenn, because it comes from, really looking at yourself and claiming that truth and turning that vulnerability into the ultimate power. So I just really see you in that. And thank you for doing the work that you're doing, especially in the corporate spaces. They're the people that need the most love so often, the most permission. I just love to offer the space. Is there anything on your heart that you really want to end with to have these listeners really receive?
If there's anything that I would say, and I always say this, is just really pull and unveil that curtain. Take a deep look in the mirror and ask yourself who you are, who you want to be. Don't pay attention to the external factors or what anyone else says. Take a deep look at yourself in the mirror. Scream at yourself, cry, get it out.
Feel it.
Feel it. And that's the thing. Oh, there's some sessions, if you go and you just try, I will finish off and say, go and try some breath work, because I've tried meditation.
Yes.
I love it. But my mind is always busy. With breath work, you've got no time to concentrate on anything thinking because you're too busy breathing. Mm. Try it.
Yes. I really second that.
Amazing. But thank you. Thank you for everything you do and inviting me on your show. Appreciate it.
Of course. I'd love to do another episode with you, maybe specifically on vibration, because I can see the wisdom in you regarding that. And I think right now it's so important that we understand the power we have when we elevate our vibration on others. We've got to get this collective awakening towards love and compassion happening. So, okay, last thing, I'm sure all of the listeners want to know how they can support the Incredible Campaign. That's the most important thing, not just follow. How can they truly support? And, you know, second to that, where can they find you and where can they find the campaign?
Yeah, well, thank you for that. What I would say, and one of the things, and I'm sure you can attest to this, is I don't really direct people to push towards support it. What I would say is make it heartfelt and pass it on to somebody that might need to see it. Mm. That is the whole support of it. It's an awareness campaign. So literally just share it. You can find it all at Imperfectly Perfect Campaign or imperfectlyperfectcampaign.org. Just really, it's not about, hey, draw attention and get some money so we can create more initiatives, because we're actually going towards corporates for that. We want to put programs on for the public for free. So this is just asking the public just to go, hey, I know someone who might connect with that. Just share the message. Get people talking.
Yes. And okay, and then Perfectly Imperfect campaign is how they find the campaign. How do they find you?
They find me, they can find me at Glenn Marsden, underscore Glenn Marsden through socials.
Yes, we'll also put the links below. So please go and support this incredible man and the work that he's doing in the world and share it with the people that need to hear it. Glenn, thank you. This is just the beginning. I know, I feel it.